our study this afternoon, I'm going to be turning your attention to a loose affiliation of beliefs that have come to be known as New Age beliefs or New Age cults. And I'm going to take the next this week and next week to talk about the New Age because for a couple of reasons. One is because it's such a current interest and current concern that I want to give full attention to it. And secondly, because of the very blatant occultism or the blatant satanic aspects of the New Age movement that I want to give full attention to. I'll be doing that especially in our next session. For today, I'm going to focus on some of the basic ideas that hold together a large, fairly diffuse group of religions or individuals that will hold these certain beliefs that have come to be known as New Age. And it's treated in this type of study because by my definition of cults, why I'm treating this now, because in my definition of cults, I have been treating those that have been a scriptural or a Christian group that has twisted something from that, and New Age falls very far from that tree, and so you may wonder why I'm doing that. I'm treating it as a cult and in this study because it is religious in character. It's very definitely a spiritual group, and they have spiritual teachings. Secondly, it is they're basically descendants of some of the cultish groups that we've already spoken of, for instance, Christian Scientists and the Baha'i and some other world religions like Buddhism, Hinduism. And thirdly, and this is probably the most the reason I'm most interested in treating this is because even though some of their teachings are so blatantly contrary to Scripture, there are many Christians that will embrace elements of New Age beliefs. And because of that, because of its kind of sneaking infiltration into the Christian thought, I wanted to be able to address some of the teachings of the New Age movement. It is hard to define because, as we've talked about some of the other groups, we've been able to most often cite an individual or a founder, someone who is the figurehead or the beginner of that religion. So we've talked about, for instance, Joseph Smith with Mormonism and Mary Baker Eddy with Christian Science, just as a couple of examples. It's also hard to define because, unlike some of these other groups, it's not monolithic. By that I mean that it's not all of one doctrine and all held together by one creedal statement or one foundational book or author like some of the others have been. And again, just as for instance, the Mormons have the Book of Mormon and the church organization that draw it all together. Instead, it is a kind of a wild smattering of ideas and philosophies that it's very loosely organized. It's not held together by any sort of church body or church organization. What will help us to define it will be common values and common vision. And the values that they hold to are they value mysticism, or they will talk a lot about some of the mysteries that are revealed or unveiled, and so knowing that mystery is a value that they hold up high. And they also will value a monism like Buddhism did, that the teaching that all is one. And that's going to be pretty important as we look through this. They also have a common vision, and that common vision is that mankind is evolving to a new age of peace and enlightenment. And it is characterized in some of the more popular New Age as the Age of Aquarius, or the Age of... I just struck a chord with some of the old rockers in the congregation. Pun intended, I guess. They speak about an age of Aquarius, actually, and they speak about this new unveiling or enlightenment of mankind, where we will all come to the realization of these values, this all is oneness. But quite frankly, the New Age is not really new. And I want to direct your attention to a couple of different places in Scripture that will be a place for us to evaluate the New Age movement. And I'd like to hand out some verses, so if you can grab a Bible and get ready to read. I'll start here on my left, J.D., Ecclesiastes 1, 9 and 10. Stephen, Leviticus 26, Laura, Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 11, and Alan, Acts 19, 19. Just while we're finding those, in the book by Walter Martin, he points out a writing by C.S. Lewis that he describes the in the modern world, that there is a clash going on between the two most advanced religious systems, and that being Christianity and Hinduism. And the New Age is really a Hinduism, a Buddhism reworked and given some old lies, new faces. And C.S. Lewis's point that he makes is that these two polar opposite religions, one is has exclusive claims. Christianity excludes all other religions, and Hinduism absorbs all others. And it's this clash that he wrote is going on. There really isn't anything new. There's a giving new faces and new names to some old sins. So, first of all, listen to Ecclesiastes 1, 9 and 10.
That which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, see, this is new? Already, it has existed for ages which were before us.
It's an Old Testament tongue twister. I'd say that five times fast. it's simply put, there's nothing new under the sun. And some of these verses that come next are going to be identified in the New Age movement as ushering in this era of enlightenment and this ability to know mysteries. And it's that desire to know mysteries through means that God has not ordained, that are specifically forbidden in Scripture and named. And I want you to hear these verses. Leviticus 20, verse 6.
And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits, to prostitute himself with them, I'll set my face against that person and put him off from his people.
So, do you know what a medium is? Tell me what a medium is. Yeah. Someone who can tell the future by consulting spirits. A medium has the idea of a go-between between the physical realm and some spiritual realm, and so they can seek out the future by consulting spirits. God says such will be cut off. Deuteronomy 18:9-11.
When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead.
In that passage, there's a mentions of witchcraft and sorcery and the use of, again, means to try to determine future. Those evil practices were there in the land of Canaan, and God forbids the people of God to participate in those. In Acts 19:19.
Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver.
There's an account in the New Testament, more advanced in age and more advanced in technology, and still practicing witchcraft. And the confrontation of Christianity with that brings about a doing away with that. This aim of knowing the future and unveiling it is part of the mystery cult, or part of the mystery aspect of the New Age cult. In fact, if you were to look into what the New Age is about today, you would find them consulting the stars in astrology to try to determine their path in life and to try to determine their future. You'd find them finding significance in numerology, so they would count the number of letters and the significance of letters in names. You would find them being promoting witchcraft and the casting of spells, of reading crystal balls, of consulting the dead and necromancy and things like that. Those are part of this loose affiliation that is aiming at knowing and controlling and being part of this mystery knowledge that is unveiled. Abigail?
Did they actually raise dead or anything, or stuff like that? Because, you know, Saul, when he went to get Samuel in the desert, it happened that that was because of God, right?
You're doing a good job of thinking ahead. I'm going to reserve that until next week. I have planned to touch on that very account, and so I'd like to that'll make you come back next week, won't it? So we will talk about that some more. Is that the spiritism is more than just something fanciful like a science fiction book, and it's more than something just playing. So this is where the Satanism, I think, does come into play, and we need to be aware of. So I'll treat more on that next time. Part of this desire to know the future is related to their view of God and man and sin, and I'd like to briefly touch on those three things today, so that you can understand in your conversations with individuals. And And I think this is where that aspects of the New Age cult are tempting to individuals, and where we can give answer. For the doctrine of God, they bring together some of these parent cults in a way that results in this. All is one, so we are all part of this one. Because we are all part of this one, then God is this one. And because of God being this one, I am part of this one God. I am God, says Shirley MacLaine. She's said, I am that I am. Just taking biblical language that Jesus used and applying that to herself. So another teacher in New Age is quoted as saying that all individuality dissolves into a universal, undifferentiated oneness. In essence, it's a pantheistic monism. In other words, God is the only thing that exists, and we are part of that. We are elements of that oneness. Man, since all is one and all is God, man is God. And our redemption or our deliverance will be when we realize this. And here you might start hearing things that will remind you of cults that we've talked about before, the oneness idea of Buddhism and the Baha'i faith, where there's only one faith, and they all get melded together, so that they teach that mankind will be delivered not from sin, but they will be delivered from ignorance. And they call this an enlightenment or a God realization. And it's achieved through these conscious changing techniques. And so they promote meditation and yoga and chanting and witchcraft and crystal balls as ways to enlighten themselves into this mystery of all is one, all is God, man is God type of teaching. They think that these are the means that will be used to reach this enlightenment. They also will believe in a reincarnation different from Buddhists who think it as a negative thing. They see reincarnation as a progressive perfecting of our God consciousness and our awakening. There's some logical inconsistencies here that may be apparent to you, that if all is one, then how can you say that we aren't, that you need to achieve something more? If all is one, then logically you can't be separate from that oneness, and some revelation will not unite you with that oneness, which is their goal. They've already logically shot themselves in the foot, as do the Buddhists, when they say that nirvana exists and I'm not in it. Because if all is one, then there can't be a place that is nirvana and is not nirvana. And the same for the New Age cults. If all is one and we are progressing towards that, then we are not in that oneness right now. And that logical inconsistency causes it to fail. I think that logic question is one that's appropriate to make. But I'm one to use the sword of the Spirit and just go ahead and stick it in and let God do the work. And so there's some more verses that will help us in understanding this. And first of all, we need to remember that all is not God, that God is separate from his creation. That starts off from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I'll bet one of the children can quote Genesis 1:1. Who can quote that for me? Danny?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah, very good.
He wrote it in Latin, too.
That's okay. You had a question, though. What was your question?
My question was, what did they say about, perfectness? I mean, if we were, part of God, and, if we were God, would we be perfect? What did they say about that?
They say a funny thing, and that is that since we are all God, it doesn't matter what we do. Just go ahead and do it.
Do they think that whatever we believe is the same thing?
Yeah, if all is one, then it doesn't matter what you believe or what you think. Although there is proselytizing that takes place, they think that they can usher in this age of Aquarius by promoting the God consciousness of more and more individuals. So they try to do that. But morality is what you make of it. It's because we are God. That's right. Yeah. It's part of astrology. It's part of the telling the future by the stars. And Aquarius is one of the constellations in the sky that the sun moves through, or the zodiac moves through, and that's part of astrology. I may have to develop that a little more. I see some confused looks on people's face. I can't do that today. Go ahead. Pardon me?
Plus, it just fit well with the song.
it rhymes well. It has a good beat to it. Now, there is something to it. It's the astrology thing. One more point. God is definitely separate from creation, and we would talk about him in our theology of being transcendent. He is other than the creation. And Genesis 1:1 is grounded on that God made something, and that something he made is not God. And that is very important for us to look at. I think I'll look at some other verses next week to demonstrate that fact a little bit more. But let me say one more thing, and that is that God is not impersonal either. The transcendent God is sometimes characterized as being so much other that we cannot begin to know him, and people have reacted against the idea of a transcendent God because of that holy otherness. But the God of the Bible is not only transcendent, he is immanent. He is also personal, and he makes himself known in personal ways by his names, by revealing himself as I am, as eternally existing and personal, by revealing himself in the incarnation in the Son Jesus Christ, and by revealing himself in this way. And then by redemption, by loving a people and rescuing them from sin. So God is separate from his creation, but he is also a personal God, which stands over and against the New Age concept of everything being one, everything being God, and we're being just a part of that. And it will provide really quite a bit of meaning and relief to this desire to know, and this desire to really to be cared for, in the fact that the Almighty God has stooped to make himself known and to draw mankind into his presence through the Redeemer Jesus Christ. I'm going to pause there. It's a natural place before we move on into to looking at a little bit more about the biblical teaching about the difference between God and man, and seeing sin and salvation and Jesus Christ again, and as well as to delve a little more deeply into the occult side of it. Any other quick questions that I might be able to answer? That's part of, if I understand correctly, a sense of our this God consciousness being in tune with the power or the reality that they describe as that oneness, and the crystals, because of their unique shapes and because of their perfect geometric forms, will help us to become in tune with that reality or that power. So it's a seeking out peace, really through a mechanism or through a magical rather than a personal relationship.
I've seen that in other, that seems to be a common thread.
I think so too. I think there is a common thread there. Dan?
Thinking that it's interesting how that the logical fallacy that's there, which we noticed in various cults and such, but I was hearing Bonson give talking about this myth of neutrality and such. Just amazing how often the groups like this or others will go ahead and leave all that inconsistency at the door and then try and go ahead and participate in what the rest of the whole borrowing Christian capital type of argument. He was talking about math, for example, one of those subjects that's supposed to be neutral and doesn't have any spiritual connection. 1 + 1 = 2, not 1.
Yeah.
And the Hindu the Hindu follower can't really explain why math works. I don't know if there are any Hindus in the math department. Leave that to a resident. How many Hindus are consistent? Or how many just say, well, just kind of pick and choose your truth when it suits you? Pretty interesting to see how that's done.
Well, I'll just close by encouraging you once more to remember that the light shines in the darkness, and to let your light so shine in the world around you that this aspect of society would come under that light of the gospel, and you will run into people like this, and to let them know of Christ in you. Let's close in prayer. Well, God, we thank you that you've revealed yourself, that you've stooped to show us yourself in creation, and especially in your Word. And especially in the Word, Jesus Christ, we thank you that we can know you, and that the hope of everlasting life is one that isn't vainly sought through mystery and through mechanism, but through repentance and faith. God, again, we pray that you would give us a testimony in the world, so that as we understand these world religions and cults, that we would be your witnesses. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.